وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَاسْتَوَى آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ
When Moses, peace be upon him, reached the age of full youth and grew to maturity, we bestowed upon him wisdom and knowledge. Thus do we reward those who do good. When Moses, peace be upon him, reached the age of full youth and grew to maturity,
that is, when he had attained to his full mental and physical development, different ages have been mentioned in the Israelite traditions. Some say 18 years, others 20, and still others 40. According to the New Testament, he was 40 years old at the time. Acts 7:23. As for the Quran, it does not mention any age. The purpose for which this story is narrated here does not require the mention of any specific age. It is enough to know that the event took place at a time when Moses, peace be upon him, had reached full maturity.
We bestowed upon him wisdom and knowledge.
Hukm means wisdom and understanding, the power of discernment and judgment. As for ilm, it denotes both worldly and religious knowledge. Through his parents, Moses, peace be upon him, had come to have substantial information about the lives of his forefathers, Joseph, Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham, peace be upon them. Also, thanks to his upbringing as a prince, he had acquired all the worldly knowledge then imparted in Egypt. It would be pertinent to point out that hukm and ilm in the present context do not signify prophethood. Moses, peace be upon him, was endowed with prophethood several years later, as will be mentioned in the subsequent verses and as has been mentioned in Surah Al-Shu'ara 26:21. As regards Moses' training as a prince, the Bible states, Moses, peace be upon him, was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and deeds. Acts 7:22. According to the Talmud, Moses, peace be upon him, grew up in the palace of the king. A handsome young man, clad in princely dress, he lived a royal lifestyle and was honored and respected by people. He often went to the land of Goshen where the Israelites lived, and he himself saw the harsh treatment meted out to them by the Coptic government officials. It was as a result of his efforts that Pharaoh granted the Israelites a day of rest. He had told Pharaoh that if they worked every day, their strength would fail them and that this would eventually work against the interests of the state. Hence, a day of respite was a necessity. He did many other good things using his wisdom, and these acts made him very popular in Egypt.
وَدَخَلَ الْمَدِينَةَ عَلَىٰ حِينِ غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا فَوَجَدَ فِيهَا رَجُلَيْنِ يَقْتَتِلَانِ فَوَجَدَ فِيهَا رَجُلَيْنِ يَقْتَتِلَانِ هَذَا مِنْ شِيعَتِهِ وَهَذَا مِنْ عَدُوِّهِ فاستغاثه الذي من شيعته على الذي من عدوه فوكزه موسى فقضى عليه قال هذا من عمل الشيطان إنه عدو مضل مبين
Once he entered the city at a time when its people were heedless, and he encountered two men fighting, one of whom belonged to his own people and the other to his foes. Now, the man belonging to Moses' own people cried out to him for help against the man from the foes, and Moses, peace be upon him, struck him with his fist and finished him. Moses, peace be upon him, said, "This is an act of Satan. Surely he is an enemy who openly misleads." Once he entered the city at a time when its people were heedless.
It might have been early in the morning, or midday in summer, or nighttime in winter. In any case, what is suggested here is that it was time when the roads were deserted. The words "entered the city" seem to suggest that the royal palaces were outside the city. Since Moses, peace be upon him, lived in one of those palaces, it was thus appropriate to say that he entered the city.
Now, the man belonging to Moses' own people cried out to him for help against the man from the foes, and Moses, peace be upon him, struck him with his fist.
The word wakaza could mean he slapped or he struck with a fist. Since it is hard to imagine someone dying merely from a slap, We have therefore translated it as struck him with his fist.
Moses, peace be upon him, said, "This is an act of Satan. Surely he is an enemy who openly misleads."
One can imagine the state of remorse and perturbation in which Moses, peace be upon him, would have uttered these words when he saw the Egyptian fall down and breathe his last. He had no intention of killing him. The blow had not been struck for that purpose. Hence, why Moses exclaimed that this must be Satan's act. Satan had planned the mischief which had prompted him to act so. Satan's purpose being to raise a storm of enmity against Moses, peace be upon him, the latter having killed a Copt in the course of helping an Israelite. This storm was not only directed against Moses, but against all Israelites. The biblical account of this event varies from the Quranic one. The Bible accuses Moses, peace be upon him, of intentionally killing the Egyptian. It says that when Moses saw an Israelite and an Egyptian engaged in a fight, he looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Exodus 2:12. The Talmud says the same. The Talmud does not mention whether he killed him intentionally or not. The words are, "He saw an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, and he killed the Egyptian and fled from Egypt," as the occurrence is related in the Bible. Everyone can see how the Israelites stigmatized the characters of their elders, and how the Quran exonerated them from the charges so leveled against them. Common sense also dictates that he who was about to become a great prophet, and who was going to hand over a great code of justice to humanity, would be a very wise, discreet, and sober person. He could not have been such a blind racist that on seeing a member of his own community fighting with a member of another, he would become so infuriated that he would deliberately kill that person. Obviously, it was not lawful to deliberately kill an Egyptian in order to rescue an Israelite.
قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي فَاغْفِرْ لِي فَغَفَرَ لَهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ
Then he prayed, "My Lord, I have indeed inflicted wrong on myself, so do forgive me." Wherefore Allah forgave him, for he is ever forgiving, most merciful. Then he prayed, "My Lord, I have indeed inflicted wrong on myself, so do forgive me."
The word maghfirah means to indulge, to forgive, as well as to conceal. What Moses, peace be upon him, means by this prayer is that God may forgive him his sin, which, as he knew, he had not committed intentionally, that he may hide it from others, so that his enemies would not be able to trace it.
Wherefore Allah forgave him, for he is ever forgiving, most merciful.
This has two meanings, and both are intended here. God indeed forgave Moses, peace be upon him, for his action, and also hid it from others. This happened because at that time, no Copt or government functionary was in the area, so the Copts did not come to know about the incident. Moses, peace be upon him, was therefore able to leave the place unobserved.
قَالَ رَبِّ بِمَا أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ فَلَنْ أَكُونَ ظَهِيرًا لِلْمُجْرِمِينَ
Thereupon Moses vowed, "My Lord, because of the favor that you have done me, I shall never support the guilty." Thereupon Moses vowed, "My Lord, because of the favor that you have done me."
The favor alluded to here consists of God concealing Moses' act of killing and is enabling him to escape.
I shall never support the guilty.
Moses' pledge, peace be upon him, is couched in very broad terms. It not only means that he would never lend any assistance to the guilty, but also that his help and assistance would never be for the perpetrators of injustice and tyranny. Ibn Jarir al-Tabari and many other Quranic commentators have taken these words to mean that on that very day, Moses, peace be upon him, decided to sever his relations with Pharaoh and his government because it was a tyrannical government which had established an unjust rule over God's land. A just person could not be a cog in such machinery of government, nor could a just person be instrumental in augmenting its power and majesty. Muslim scholars have deduced from Moses' pledge, peace be upon him, that a believer should shun helping a tyrant, regardless of whether that tyrant is a person, a group, or a government. Someone asked, Atta ibn Abi Rabah, a well-known successor, Tabi, "My brother is ascribed to the governor of Kufa under the Umayyads. Though he does not judge the disputes of people, The judgments are written by his pen. If he does not have this job, he will become penniless. Atta at this point recited this verse saying, "It is better for your brother to throw away his pen, for it is God who provides livelihood." Another scribe asked Amir al-Shabi, "O Amir, I am only responsible for writing the orders and sending them. I do not make any decision myself. Is the livelihood thus earned lawful for me?" He said, "Maybe the decision will be to kill an innocent person, and your pen will be used to write that order. Maybe it will be decided that someone's possessions should be taken away unlawfully, or someone's house should be demolished, and your pen will write that decree." Then Shabi recited this verse, upon which the scribe said, "After this day, my pen will not be used to write the decrees of the Umayyads." Thereafter, Shabi said, "God will not leave you without sustenance." To take another instance, Abdul Rahman ibn Muslim asked Dahak to go to Bukhara and to distribute salaries to the officials there, but he declined to do so. His friends asked him about his reasoning. He said that he did not want to assist the tyrants in anything. All these incidents have been mentioned by Alusi. See Alusi, Ru al-Ma'ni, Volume 20, paragraphs 56-7. All biographers of Abu Hanifa, including Al-Muwaffaq al-Makki, Ibn al-Bazaz al-Kardari, and Mullah Ali al-Qari, have related that Hassan ibn Qatuba, Mansur's commander-in-chief, tendered his resignation on his instruction, saying, "Whatever I have done to support your kingdom so far would suffice for me if it was in the cause of God. But if it was in the cause of injustice and tyranny, then I do not want to add anything to my sins in the scroll of my deeds." See Muhammad ibn Muhammad, popularly known as Ibn al-Bazaz al-Kardari, Manaqib al-Imam al-Azam Abi Hanifa, Volume 2, Paragraph 22.
فأصبح في المدينة خائفا يترقب فإذا الذي استنصره بالأمس يستصرخه قال له موسى إنك لغوي مبين.
The next morning, he proceeded to the city in fear and looking around as one apprehensive of danger, when all of a sudden, the man who had sought his help the day before again called out to him for his help. Moses, peace be upon him, said to him, "Clearly, you are a very misguided fellow." Moses, peace be upon him, said to him, "Clearly, you are a very misguided fellow."
When Moses, peace be upon him, saw the same person engaged in two fights, he became convinced that he was a quarrelsome character who regularly picked on others. A day earlier, he had quarreled with one person, and the next day he was quarreling with another.
فَلَمَّا أَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَبْطِشَ بِالَّذِي هُوَ عَدُوٌّ لَهُمَا قَالَ يَا مُوسَى قال يا موسى أتريد أن تقتلني كما قتلت نفسا بالأمس إن تريد إلا أن تكون جبارا في الأرض وما تريد أن تكون من المصلحين.
And when Moses, peace be upon him, decided to lay his violent hands on the man belonging to the enemy, he cried out, "Moses, do you intend to kill me as you killed the person yesterday? You simply want to live in the land as a tyrant and do not wish to set things right." And when Moses, peace be upon him, decided to lay his violent hands on the man belonging to the enemy,
the biblical account of this is different from the Quranic one. According to the former, the fight on the next day was between two Israelites. The Quran, however, mentions that it was between an Israelite and an Egyptian. See Exodus 2:13. The Quranic version seems more plausible because the manner in which the secret of the first day's murder, which is narrated in the following verses, was made known would only have been possible if it were an Egyptian who had found it out. An Israelite would not have divulged a prince's secret to Pharaoh's officials when that prince in fact belonged to his own people.
He cried out.
The person who cried out was the same Israelite whom Moses, peace be upon him, had helped the day earlier. After scolding him, when Moses, peace be upon him, turned to strike the Egyptian, the Israelite thought he was going to hit him, and so he cried out and foolishly divulged the secret.
وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا مُوسَى إِنَّ الْمَلَأَ يَأْتَمِرُونَ بِكَ لِيَقْتُلُوكَ فَاخْرُجْ إِنِّي لَكَ مِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ
Then a man came running from the farther end of the city and said, O Moses, peace be upon him, the nobles are deliberating about you that they may put you to death. So do be gone. I am one of your well-wishers. Then a man came running from the farther end of the city.
This second incident led to the disclosure of a secret that had hitherto remained unknown, i.e. Moses' involvement in the killing, peace be upon him. It first became known to the Copt involved in this particular quarrel, and he then disclosed it to others. The event mentioned here was a direct sequel of that disclosure.
فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبُ قَالَ رَبِّ نَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ
Soon after hearing this, Moses, peace be upon him, departed in a state of fear, looking around as one in apprehension, and prayed, My Lord, deliver me from these unjust people.